This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yos, and appreciate you joining us tonight. Right now, we have foolish things going on outside, so if you hear a strange rumbling in the background, it's foolish things as a part of our Sundays in the Park series of concerts that we have happening right now. They just actually got started. It's going to be one of their last concerts together as a group, and we'll be doing a different band each and every month this summer. Sundays in the Park, just an opportunity to come together, to fellowship, to listen to some great music, and we'll do that each Sunday. Next month, we're actually going to have Jimmy Needham join us for Sundays in the Park, and that's going to be really exciting, so we're hoping that it will work out really, really well, and I've got some other great bands lined up for Sundays in the Park as well. So each month, Sundays in Park from M88, a free concert, an opportunity for you to come on down, enjoy some free music at Calvary of Albuquerque. And before we get started tonight, we want to make sure that we thank our friends at Mortgage Express, Alfonso Archuleta, and the rest of the gang for supporting the music and ministry of M88 and for being sponsors of tonight's episode of Raw Talk. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number, 237-2460. M88 thrives on the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express. So we wouldn't be able to do this without them or without you. So we thank you, everyone who helps support the ministry and the music of M88. And what a huge blessing that is to all of us. And it gives us an opportunity just to do what God has called us to do. So thank you so much for your support of this ministry. Well, tonight on Raw Talk, we're going to discuss a little bit about what's been happening all throughout the world. We're trying to reach KP Yohannan right now as our special guest. Been trying to dial him up, so hopefully pray that we get him on the phone here soon so we can have him as a part of our conversation tonight. But I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been happening in the news lately, but there's been a lot going on in the world today, especially so far as it looks like the world is falling apart. We had those tornadoes here in the United States that cut a swath of destruction across the Midwest. There's that volcano that was going off in South America, the earthquake that took place in China just recently, and then the cyclone that kind of seemed to kick it all off starting 2 weeks ago. A cyclone blew through the southern part of Myanmar, country also known by many as Burma. And it was absolutely devastating. Actually reshaped the coastline of that country. The southern tip of that coastline was actually flooded and changed forever. And now they're working on trying to get things changed. And so what we wanted to do tonight was look at a couple things. First of all, what can we do about what's been going on? And then a closer look at what does it all mean, everything that's been happening recently? Because, you know, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talked about how there were going to be signs as we got closer to the end times, birth pains that we should pay attention to. And we've been looking for those ever since. But the consistency, the amount of time that has been between these recent natural disasters certainly can have one wondering if perhaps all these natural disasters are the very birth pains that Jesus Christ himself spoke about. So that's what we wanted to look at tonight, and so that's what we're going to do. If you have a comment that you'd like to share about that particular topic, first of all, what can we do to help people in Myanmar, people in China, people in the Midwest who are still recovering from those tornadoes that struck recently, the stuff that's going on in South America with the volcano that erupted. If you got a comment about that, 505-338-5790, or do you think these really are signs of the end times? Just how close do you think we might be? Are these the birth pains that Jesus Christ himself spoke about? Give us a call, 505-338-5790. Are we witnessing the very things that Jesus told his disciples to watch for? To watch for before Jesus Christ returned, when he talked about the fact that there would be earthquakes in various places, pestilence and famine and wars and rumors of war. Is that really what we're seeing with all that's taken place here recently? I did a quick update on what's been happening in Myanmar before we did tonight's show. The cyclone, as you know, hit 2 weeks ago, reshaped the coastline of that particular country. And it's been very difficult to get a grasp on exactly what the effect on that country has been, because the ruling government, the ruling military government, also known as the junta, hasn't been very cooperative insofar as letting aid reach the country. It's been difficult to get aid workers to get any sort of relief into that country. For whatever reason, the military government has been very stoic in allowing that to happen. So what exactly has happened in that country isn't for sure, although estimates from various aid efforts have placed the death toll somewhere between 68,000 to 120,000, with millions more left homeless after the cyclone blew through that area. Now, those death tolls really depend on which aid relief organization you're thinking about. There's Red Cross, World Vision, Gospel for Asia, all trying to help out with the situation in Myanmar. And the big problem right now is getting aid to the people of the country, because the government has stalled and said we can handle this. And then there's been some question about what they're doing with the aid that's being sent. Are they redirecting it for their own purposes? So the aid isn't reaching the people. And that's been a big problem, because there's millions of people who are affected by this who weren't killed outright by the cyclone or the 12-foot storm surge that came through along with that. But now they're just waiting for someone to help them. There's areas that have been completely cut off due to the storm, and no aid at all is reaching them. And so it's thousands and thousands of people have been killed, millions left homeless in one city that was hit. 95% of the homes were destroyed. If you can imagine a city the size of Albuquerque where 95% of the homes have been completely wiped out, imagine what kind of a humanitarian crisis that would be. And so you get kind of a scope of exactly what a big effect this cyclone had. More importantly, it wiped out a lot of the rice paddies in that area. I don't know if you've ever seen a rice paddy. It's a big field where they grow rice. And a lot of those were drowned. So the rice crops have been completely destroyed. Now, that doesn't only affect Myanmar, but it's going to affect the entire world. Now, there's already a food shortage that the world is trying to deal with. There's been riots breaking out because the high cost of food is going up because of oil prices going up. It's more expensive to ship food, so on and so forth. So we see a chain reaction domino effect of going through the world when it comes to food shortages, the cost of fuel, and then this cyclone hit Myanmar. And suddenly that particular catastrophe is going to have a global effect. Well, if you want to share whether or not you think this is something that is what Jesus predicted in Matthew chapter 24, give us a call, 505-338-5790, to share your comments, or maybe ask a question about what's been going on. 505-338-5790. I was looking at Gospel for Asia's website, and they're doing all that they can to help out the survivors in Burma. One of the things that KP Yohanan is quoted as saying at that website is rebuilding Myanmar could take years, and since our missionaries, churches, and Bible college students are indigenous, they will be there for the long haul. And one of the things that Gospel for Asia does is they train people in that country to go out and reach out to those people. Well, the people of Burma, almost 90% Buddhist, and one of the things that struck me about that particular disaster was the fact that if that is true, 90% are Buddhist, just think about how many people never had the opportunity to choose Christ. Maybe they heard, maybe they didn't choose Christ. But just think about how many souls may have been lost in that single cyclone that swept through Myanmar, and what that means for God's kingdom. All those people lost forever. Now, I'm going to be honest. That's something that never would have really occurred to me before. It wouldn't even have been something that I would have put a lot of thought into, because For whatever reason, I just didn't have an evangelistic heart about that. You'd hear about disasters like that, and you'd think, oh, yeah, that's sad that all those people are dying in another part of the world. Not a lot I can do about it. Maybe I'll donate some money. But for some reason, this time around, maybe it's because I've been reading through Billy Graham's autobiography called Just As I Am, or because we've been doing some studies on evangelism in our church and in our DJ meetings, I've been much more concerned with people who haven't chosen Christ. And what happens when their life ends and they haven't done that? I mean, if you stop to think about it, it's absolutely devastating to think that so many thousands of people are not going to be in heaven now because of this cyclone. And again, the question is, well, what can we do about that? 505-338-5790. If you got a question or comment that you'd like to share about that, how can we make an impact on the world when this is what's taking place, when so many people are being lost? And not just in these natural disasters. People are being lost on every day. Make no mistake. And I'm not blind to that. These natural disasters, of course, are something that grab our attention because they are so devastating in such a short amount of time. But there's tragedies taking place throughout the world. Well, what can we as Christians do about all of this? 505-338-5790. If you'd like to add a comment about that, or more importantly, if you would like to comment on whether or not these are the signs of the end times. Is Christ coming soon? Because of all that we've been seeing, if you look in Matthew chapter 24 and the other Gospels, you see him talking about earthquakes and famines and pestilence and wars and rumors of wars as being signs of his soon return. Well, is that really what we're seeing, or is this all just kind of coincidental? The fact that the earthquake struck in China so soon after the cyclone hit Myanmar, at least for me, was kind of a wake-up call. It got my attention that two such huge disasters could take place so quickly in such a short amount of time, back-to-back almost. And it was shocking for me to hear about not only the cyclone, but then soon after that, the earthquake in China that rocked that country. If you haven't heard about what's been going on in China, there was an earthquake that took place about a week ago, about a week after the cyclone in Myanmar. And this earthquake in China was absolutely devastating to a lot of surrounding areas where they don't, you know, they're not modern cities being rebuilt with a earthquake code for all the buildings. So a lot of buildings were just completely destroyed, reduced to rubble. The current death toll there stands at 32,000, with many more injured. And still, some areas completely cut off. There was a lot of rain there recently, which caused some landslides, which made it difficult to get to certain areas. And so they're still trying to dig out of that situation in China. Another devastating natural disaster. What does this mean? What are we supposed to do about all this? What are these events supposed to be telling us? If you got a comment about that, 505-338-5790. If you'd like to offer a comment or a question about what's been going on in our world today. Are we really seeing the beginnings of the end when it comes to the end of the world? I just watched National Treasure 2 last night, and yes, it does relate, trust me. Because one of the things that came up in that movie is how important it was for one of the characters to make sure that his name was remembered throughout history. He wanted to be known. You know, our lifetimes are very finite. The Bible even points out how finite our lives really are. And he was concerned that he wanted to make sure that his family would be remembered throughout history. Well, I can understand that. We'd all like to live forever. But what the Bible tells us is that eventually history is going to come to an end. So what then? You're still not going to be remembered if your name is written in the books of history. Well, that's all nice, but when history is over, then what good is it? Which is why, for us as Christians, what we want to do is reach out to people and make sure that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that they are living for eternity. Quite frankly, I'd rather be alive forever than still be dead, but remembered in history. That's just my own personal opinion about that particular subject. And so with what's been going on in this world, are we seeing the beginnings of the end of history? The end of history could be closer than we imagine. That may be a possibility. What do you think? 505-338-5790. We have Vonda on the line. Vonda, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I totally agree. Ever since New Orleans got hit, you know, it's such an evil, evil little city. And when it got hit, I was like, whoa, you know, this is so God, you know, picking that place. You know, that's like the voodoo capital of the United States. And also, you know, in Daniel 9, they talk about, you know, the 7 years and the 70, and how 7 relates to 70. And I know it says nobody knows the day and the time and all this, but, you know, being Israel's 60th birthday,
mm-hmm.
I really think it has to do something with Israel's 70th birthday. You know, it could be 3 years and then the last 7 years, or, you know, it could be, you know, then, or, and with the change of calendar and everything. But, but I think that, Israel, has something to do with the end times. And, you know, just the timing of it coming so close to 70 years, too.
Well, that's certainly an interesting point, and you're absolutely right. This is the 60th anniversary of Israel re-becoming a nation after they were declared a nation after World War II in 1948. They became a nation once again, which fulfilled some prophecies that we see in the Old Testament. And ever since that, people have been very interested in what's happening there in the Middle East and how all that relates to biblical prophecy. In fact, I've heard a lot recently about Israel and all that's been going on in the Middle East and how interesting all that is. And I agree, it is very, very fascinating. But these recent natural disasters had me wondering, are we focusing just a little too much on all the politics and infighting of what's going on with Israel when there is a global scale to all this, that there's more going on than just what's happening in Israel? And other signs of the times don't just focus on Israel, but focus on the entire world. When you look at what Jesus predicted so far as the earthquakes and all the natural aspects of it, of the world just slowly deteriorating and basically falling apart. It's all very interesting in a kind of a morbid kind of way. I always feel a little bit guilty for thinking that. But Vonda, you touched on something I thought was kind of interesting. Do you think God is directly responsible for the events that are happening, like the cyclone in Myanmar and the earthquake in China?
Oh, of course. Of course he's got his finger on it all.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody thinks that God's not in control, they're crazy.
So God is the one who's responsible for the hundreds of thousands of deaths that took place and all these people who are now going to end up in hell that he just capriciously wiped out.
Well, no. He's not in control of their decision to go to hell. The Bible says that everybody will hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people that died, there was a promise that they have heard the truth. And, you know, there's good missionaries out there. In fact, I know Calvary had missionaries out there at the time of the tsunami. So, you know, that's their choice in choosing Jesus was not God's decision.
Hmm.
But his timing of the disaster was definitely his decision. I mean, no human person can cause a disaster like that.
Well, that's an interesting viewpoint. Thank you for calling in and sharing tonight, Vonda.
Uh-huh. Thank you, yo.
All right.
God bless you.
All right. Have a great evening.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. Well, if you have a comment that you'd like to share on what's been happening in the world today, are these the signs of the times as predicted by Jesus and other parts of Scripture? Let us know, 505-338-5790. And perhaps you have something that you'd like to add to what Vonda said so far as, well, is this the hand of God that we're seeing moving throughout the world? Is that really what we're seeing? Are we seeing God causing this kind of destruction and suffering? Or is there something else going on? What do you think? 505-338-5790 to share your comment and your insights on what's been happening in our world today. As it's been an interesting past couple weeks, I can't remember the last time I've seen so many natural disasters occur in such a short amount of time. We haven't heard much about the volcano in South America, mainly because there hasn't been as huge of a death toll down there. But nevertheless, it's a volcano that had been dormant for years and years and years and erupted and was spreading ash across much of South America, which will have its own effects on the situation down there. So there are things occurring all around the world. And then, you know, you toss in the possibility of global warming, so on and so forth. Well, is that what we're seeing? Are we seeing the world slowly deteriorating, slowly being destroyed, just as was predicted in the Bible, Are we in the end times? Is Jesus coming back sooner than we might think? And are these natural disasters supposed to be a wake-up call for us? Is this something that we need to really take note of? And if so, what should we do? Give us a call if you have an opinion about that, 505-338-5790. We have Walter on the line. Walter, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on here tonight.
Sure.
I was thinking that this all could be related to the end times with all the catastrophes and the food shortage, and I was realizing as I was sitting here that this can be both a joy to us or both a saddening to us that the end times is coming along.
Mm-hmm.
Because us as Christians, when we really realize that the end times are coming, we're going to receive our reward. But there may be loved ones that are not saved, and that this is just another encouragement to me to reach out to people and to help them realize that some things of the Bible are coming true. And I just think it's both a curse and a blessing.
I would absolutely agree with you, Walter. And in fact, one of the things that's occurred to me as I've been watching some of these world events that's been different from previous times. Most people might not like what I'm about to say, but come on, let's be honest. It's true. Christians are kind of morbid because we see, especially when events happen in Israel, like war breaks out and Hezbollah starts firing missiles into Israel and they start firing back and tanks start rolling back and forth and that kind of conflict breaks out. Christians all over the world get excited. It's like, oh, this is something biblical. Jesus Christ is returning soon. Yay, war is breaking out. And we get excited about it. And then when we start tying in some of these natural disasters as possibly being signs of the end times, again, you're right. We have a certain joy. It's like, oh, look at that. Natural disasters all over the world. Jesus must be coming soon. And we get excited, and rightfully so, because we do have the promise of going to heaven and spending eternity with him. And it is very exciting. But I agree, there is a measure of tragedy and I think sadness and bitterness that should be a part of all these events, because so many people no longer have that opportunity to accept Christ and experience that same joy that we have. One of the things I've been struggling with watching what's been happening in Myanmar and going on in China is just how many souls are being lost. And I agree with you, Walter. It has spurred me on to think, man, I need to do something, because if anything, these natural disasters have shown we don't know how much time we have. And instead of just sitting there twiddling our thumbs, being excited about the possibilities, oh, soon we're going to be going home, soon we're going to be going home, what we should be doing is, I'm running out of time. I have a job to do. People need to be saved through Jesus Christ, and it's up to me to make sure that happens. Is that kind of the vibe I'm getting from you, Walter?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in and illuminating that very important point. I certainly appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to me, and I hope you have a great show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Have a great evening, Walter.
You too.
505-338-5790. If you'd like to share an opinion about what's been going on in the world today with the cyclone in Myanmar, the earthquake in China, are these the signs of the end times? Should we be concerned that we're running out of time? We're running out of chances to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. And can we really say, oh, this is God doing this? Where is God in the midst of all these tragedies? It's certainly no comfort to some people to hear us say that. Well, how can we better minister to people in the midst of tragedies like this? What do you think? 505-338-5790. Are we seeing the signs of the end times with all that has taken place in just the past 3 weeks? Just the past 3 weeks, people. Several major events have happened throughout the globe, most of them natural disasters, and then we had those bombs that recently went off in a coordinated attack in India. And, of course, you saw what was going on there in Beirut with some infighting with Hezbollah and other factions. And could that spill over into Israel? Could that turn into a conflict that spreads throughout the region? I mean, there's all kinds of events that are going on in the world today. Well, what does that mean for us? What should we do about that? Are we experiencing the end times? And if so, what should we be doing about it? 505-338-5790. We have Mike on the line. Mike, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Mike?
Yeah, my comment is, in Revelation, when it talks about the end time, it talks about the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
My deal is, we got this presidential election coming up now in November.
Mm-hmm.
Could one of the candidates possibly be the Antichrist?
Are you asking me, or is that a rhetorical question?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm asking you. Well, I mean, nobody really knows for sure until they actually get into power, you know? But it's just, it makes you wonder. I mean, I really hadn't thought about it being the end times until you know, like all these recent natural disasters, until you brought it up. So I was listening to the radio. But and I got to thinking, well, it also talks about the Antichrist. And so I was wondering, who is the Antichrist?
Well,
could it possibly be one of the two or one of the three presidential candidates?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Mike. And just for a short answer, I'm just going to say no, at least from my studies of Scripture. I wouldn't worry about that. But without going into detail, because I don't really want to turn the show into that show where we're trying to decipher all the particular mysteries of Revelation and, you know, all that, that eschatology and whatnot. I will say this, though, that you bring up an interesting point insofar as how we are looking for certain signs to tell us if it is the end times. Now, let me ask you this, Mike. If it were to be, and I don't think it is, but if it were to be that one of them are quote unquote the Antichrist, what would that mean for you?
Oh, I believe right now I'm already living in an unholy nation. We are no longer built on, or we no longer stand for what we were built on back when our founding fathers built this nation. I believe that the more Christians stay quiet, the more oppressed we get. And it's the loud minority of this country that seems to be getting their way.
See, here's my thought on this, Mike, and here's why I bring that up. Because, you know, you're right, we should be watching for certain signs of the end times. But the thing that has occurred to me, especially recently with what's happened with these natural disasters, is why am I watching for those things? So that I can make sure that all my stuff is packed when it's time to go home? Or should I be watching what's going on in the world today so that I am aware of just how little time I have left to make sure, as the Bible says, that there is none who will perish? You see, what has occurred to me is instead of getting so wrapped up in spotting signs of the end times, and it's important to be aware of that. Don't get me wrong. And in fact, I've wanted to be more aware of that, especially in recent weeks. But not for the reason so I can, like, count off my fingers. Okay, there's two more, there's three. Oh, good, yeah, we got a whole handful of them there. Now we're making progress. Jesus is going to be coming home soon. Sweet, I'm almost out of here. But rather that I have the heart that says, oh, no, we are running out of time and souls are perishing. It's time for me to do something about that. Because you're right, Christians should be vocal, but I don't think necessarily in the political arena. If we really want to see change, we want to start changing people's soul one at a time through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and that's what Gospel for Asia is doing. That's what all these needs are. In fact, I would say there is no better time than now to start telling people about Christ. Because as we see these natural disasters and so much suffering going on in the world, people are going to have questions that only the Bible has answers to. And more importantly, the love of Christ will help meet the needs of everyone who's experiencing some of these tragedies. You look at the organizations that are heading into Myanmar and to China, predominantly most of them are Christian-based, which I found very fascinating because when I was watching the news, the organizations that were highlighted as to what they were going to do, which organizations were going in, they were Christian-based. And in fact, the people said, I can't wait to get in there to help meet the needs of people. And you knew it wasn't just because they're worried about their suffering, but they're worried about meeting their spiritual needs as well. And I found that very moving. So,
well, I agree with everything that you said. But how about other places? My pastor, he goes every summer to a country in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a missionary over there. And right now, the dictator over there, Robert Mugabe, he is very... it's basically a genocide. I know that the genocide, if I'm not mistaken, is also a sign of the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I've also heard that just about every generation has thought that the end times are near. And I'm not saying, I don't know when the end times are coming. Nobody knows when the end times are coming. But I think we should treat every day as if today was our last day. And I'm not saying going out and, you know, doing all kinds of, you know, sins or whatever. Treat every day and every encounter as it might be your last. You know, if you witness to them, you need to, you know, if nothing else, just let your lifestyle be your witness. It's very disheartening when I see so many quote unquote Christians that their lifestyle doesn't show that they don't have a Christian lifestyle. And I mean, I've talked to several of them about it, and most of the time my comments fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, that's always frustrating when that happens, Mike, and I really appreciate you bringing up some excellent points tonight. And I think we're kind of on the same page with the, you know, live every day as if it's your last. The number one thing I'd want to do with my last day if I knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow is make sure as many people around me as possible knew that they could leave this earth with Jesus Christ and live eternity in heaven because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the fact that he rose from the dead. Number one thing that we should all be doing if each and every day were our last. Thanks for calling in, Mike. I got some other people I'm going to try and get to tonight, okay?
No.
All right, thanks for calling in, Mike. Next up, we have Samantha, and if you'd like to call in, are these the end times? We've seen a lot happen in just the past few weeks so far as it looks like the world is falling apart. It's imploding on itself. It's slowly self-destructing. Are these the signs that Jesus told us to look for in Matthew 24 and various other scriptures throughout the Bible? Is that what we're seeing? And if so, what should we do about it? We have Samantha on the line. Welcome to Raw Talk, Samantha, and what do you have to say?
Hi. I was just calling to say, in the Bible, it says that Israel is going to try to rebuild the temple over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually trying to reconstruct it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. They're planning and making plans to rebuild it.
Well, that is also very interesting. But again, Samantha, let me ask, what does that mean for you?
It means that I need to get a lot of people saved before time runs out.
See,
and my family, I've got 3 family members that they believe in God, but they're into some stuff that says they're not. They don't really believe in God.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad that you have a heart for them and that you do recognize that if these are the signs of the end times, that's the number one thing that we need to be doing. That's very cool. Now, let me ask you, Samantha, do you, on a regular basis, try to keep up with what's happening in the world today and keep an eye out for what's going on in our world as possible reminders or indicators of how much time we have might have left?
Yeah, I watch the news every day with my mom, so I definitely know all the things that have been going on with global warming and everything and the things that happened in Burma and the war and the earthquakes and stuff in China.
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing that, Samantha, and I'm glad it's also stirring in your heart a desire to make sure that as many people as possible don't have to leave this earth, whether it be a natural disaster or through war, without having the hope of eternity through Christ. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing tonight, Samantha.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You bet. You have a great evening.
You You too.
Next up, we have Katie on the line. And again, if you want to add a comment or ask a question, are these the end times? Is that what we're seeing? Burma, China, South America, right here in the U.S. with all the tornadoes that have taken place in this very active tornado season. Are we seeing the Earth slowly self-destructing, slowly winding down? Is history coming to an end? Are these natural disasters indicators of that? If you got a comment or a question, give us a call, 505-338-5790. We have Katie on the line. Katie, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, yo.
Hi.
I'm just calling. We're talking about the end times and everything, and one thing that really gets me about that is all over the Bible you see, do not be deceived, and even the very elite will be deceived and stuff, and that's just, oh, man, that's foundation trembling for me. Like, what is going to happen that's going to deceive everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And just to be, like, so firm in what you believe and in your Christ that you know him and who he is and what he would do so that whenever that deception comes, whatever it is, that you know it is deception. And, like, I don't even know if I'd consider myself one of the elite. Like, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought that up because, again, you know, keeping an eye out for everything that's happening in our world. One of the subtler things that has been going on is, as you point out, deception is taking place even within the church itself. And you're absolutely right. That is something else we need to keep track of. But again, let me ask you, Katie, if indeed you see a lot of deception happening in today's world, well, what does that mean for you?
Well, I see a lot of deception. What does that mean to me? Well, it's clearly a sign of the end times, but biblically, you know, no one knows the time or the hour, so I can't say, oh, that the end times are now. Jesus must be showing up tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, but just for me, just to know my Christ and to know for myself what the scripture says and not just to go and listen to someone speak out of a podium and believe everything you hear, but to go seek the truth out for yourself and know your Christ and know what you believe and knowing the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that when the counterfeit comes, you know that it's a counterfeit and that it's deception.
Well, that is good advice, Katie. And actually, one of the things I was thinking of while you were talking is if we do know what we believe and why we believe it, we won't be taken in by false signs. You know, that's one of the concerns. Do we get hyped up over things that really aren't signs of the end times, but just things that happen in the world? I mean, nature is nature. Sometimes nature does devastating things. It's just the system.
Absolutely.
So then are we being taken in by, oh, wow, that's incredible. It must be the end times. Or is it just nature going through its course? And if we are educated, as you pointed out, if we know why we believe what we believe, if we're well-founded in Scripture, we won't be taken in and get caught up in the emotionalism of certain events.
Absolutely.
Well, Katie,
natural disasters happen all the time. You gotta know what's going on.
Yes, you do. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Katie. I really appreciate it, and thank you for bringing that particular perspective to our conversation tonight.
Have a good night.
You too, Katie.
Bye.
Well, 505-338-5790 if you have a question or comment as we talk about what's going on in our world today. Are we seeing signs of the end times? And if so, well, what should we be doing about them? You can give us a call, 505-338-5790. And we have KP Yohannan on the line now. Hey, Dr. Yohannan, thank you so much for joining us here on Raw Talk. I really appreciate you sharing some of your time with us this evening.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Now, KP, I've just been waiting and dying and just intensely curious to get your perspective on all that's been happening in the world today, because it seems like events are accelerating. And first and foremost, let me just ask you, what is your perspective on what's taking place in Myanmar, also known as Burma, and in China? And what should we make of all these events?
Well, one of the things I would say, you know, 2 days ago I was flying back from India to Germany, then back to the United States, and I was thinking about this whole thing sitting in the plane. You know, Jesus said, when these things happen, lift up your eyes because your redemption draws nigh. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, someone who is traveling around the world and seeing what is going on or watch the news, what's happening in China today, in Sri Lanka, and Burma, and the Middle East, you know, something tells us that, you know, the time is just about to run out. And the famine, earthquakes, and the war, and the fear. And I think God's people living in a free nation such as the United States, maybe it is hard for people to imagine that we are living in the very last hour of time. And of course, you know, to deal with our people in Burma, we have 400 churches in that country, and daily I am in touch with our people there to hear the suffering, the agony, several million people's lives displaced, and over 100,000 people's lives, you know, they lost their lives, and now the huge suffering of thousands of children that lost their parents and the entire family. You know, this is not an easy situation, but I can tell you, as God's people, we need to be alert and understand what's going on.
Now, let me ask you this, because it's something that has been kind of an interesting question or debate amongst some of us here at work, you know, with the military government of Myanmar being very reluctant to allow aid into that country after the cyclone hit. The question came up, at what point does a humanitarian crisis take precedent over the preferences of a government? I mean, at what point does the world say, well, we respect you as a government, but you can't let these people suffer like this. We're going to go in and help them anyway. I mean, has that been a topic of conversation at Gospel for Asia at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the what is happening inside, you know, Burma, Myanmar, is very, very close to us because of our own people there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's interesting that you may be the first person talking like this, but, I mean, I said to several of my colleagues here that if there was ever a time when the governments around the nation watching what's going on, if there be ever a time they need to walk in and take over the country and be concerned about the suffering, you know, as a matter of fact, it is now well known to the whole world, the human rights violation in Burma, or the name Myanmar, is the worst on planet Earth. And I think this is so huge because the army is not allowing people to come in and help. And it is a miracle that they allowed us to ship in medicine and food, and allowing our people to a great extent to have freedom to distribute these materials. But that is a high, high exception. But generally speaking, the rumors, the news is that they are not giving any freedom for helping their people, and people are in desperate suffering, not one or two, but millions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, I'm not saying what country or which country should do this, but I wish the free nations would say, enough is enough. These are human beings. The violation and the suffering of the people is so huge, you have to do something, and go in and do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I've been astounded at the reluctance of the junta to allow any aid to help in their people. I mean, how could a government be so fearful that they would lose power that they'd rather see hundreds of thousands die and millions of people suffer just because they want to make sure they remain in power? It seems to me that would be like the formula for an uprising, to have them ousted from power anyway. But, you know, that's all politics, and we're more concerned with the humanitarian need. What can people do, KP, to help with the situation in Myanmar, to help with what's going on in China? When we see suffering on this scale, it's easy for Christians to kind of be paralyzed by the overwhelming need and not know what to do at all. So can you give us a few maybe simple things that we can do to get involved and help out in some way?
You know, one thing I would say, this is a very serious thing, that is, you know, we need to pray, Lord, make our heart tender and give us the pain that you experience and you have on your heart for the suffering people. And I think God is deeply saddened by what is going on, and we are called to share in the suffering. And the problem is, we watch this thing and we just say a few words of prayer and walk away as though nothing happened. But we need to be looking at this through the eyes of our Lord. Secondly, I would say we should be looking for ways we can help, you know, the suffering people through whatever means we are able to do it. We are blessed abundantly in every way beyond our imagination here in this nation. And I think this is a time not waiting, but rather looking for opportunity to help. I mean, for us, Gospel for Asia, we are, you know, praying and asking the Lord to see people be touched in their heart by the Holy Spirit. They will help us to do more in the country. And we are given the most unique opportunity to send in help and get it out in the hands of people like no other people, because we have our own people on ground, the Burmese themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is something that, you know, every believer need to be looking at this as an opportunity in the name of Christ to touch the lives of people.
Now, you bring up a really interesting point about touching people's lives with the gospel of Christ, because one of the things that struck me so heavily, so personally recently, you know, I've been reading a lot about evangelism. For some reason, that's been heavy on my heart recently, that this is an opportunity of rareness to really make a difference when it comes to sharing the gospel of Christ, not only in the countries in Burma and China where these events are taking place, but right here in the United States. As people watch these things, they're talking about them. That gives us an open door to talk with them right there about the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we use something like this to not only meet people's needs who need physical needs, who need help with their health, but also take the opportunity right here, right now, and reach out with the love of Christ in action and share the gospel and make a difference eternally?
Well, you know, I remember the time of tsunami. I was in Sri Lanka and many places during that time, and we saw literally thousands of people open their hearts to the Lord in the midst of horrible suffering and pain. That is what's happening in Burma today. Our people are feeding and caring and talking to people. People, Buddhists, that didn't listen to our people at all, rather persecuted them. At this time of suffering, they are listening and saying, please pray for us and tell us, you know, what we are supposed to do in the midst of pain. And now to your question, I mean, we live in a country like this, but, you know, as a congregation, as a people of God, if you look around, you will see people in great need and suffering. Maybe they got lots of money, but the desperation, the divorce, the pain, the anguish, the drug addiction, the loneliness. And I think we need to be looking to see these people and find them and spend time with them, talk to them, and share the gospel with them. At the same time, as a local church, the body of Christ, pastors need to be talking about what is happening in the world today with the congregation and help them to understand the reality of the lost world and make their decisions in the light of eternity. So both for unbelievers and believers, these kind of events happening in our world, if this can be brought close to their thinking through God's word, I think it will make a huge difference in the lives of people. And I think pastors are in a very, very serious, responsible position to see this happen among God's people.
I found myself in a unique position when I was tracking what was happening in Myanmar, where more than just, you know, the usual, oh, that's so sad, all those people. But I really had an ache in my heart as I watched the death toll continue to rise, and knowing that that country is like 90% Buddhist, thinking about how many souls were lost forever. And it gave me an overwhelming sense of almost helplessness of, well, what could I have done? And one of the things that occurred to me, you know, just recently we had the National Day of Prayer, and right after that, the Global Day of Prayer. So many times we underestimate the power of prayer. But when we come together to pray, especially in events like these, it really does make a difference. How have you seen prayer impact people when events like this take place?
You know, I'm glad you made this statement because, you know, I remember in the early 70s, talking about Albania, a country where they claimed not one Christian in the whole country. I remember praying for Albania, looking at the world map and crying out to God for Eastern Europe and from Russia, East Germany. You can see how God changed the nations and the situations. Now, we prayed for Nepal, a country that was completely close to the gospel. The country changed. New constitution came into being. Bhutan, the same thing. I'm telling you, with 2 billion people living in our generation that do not know the Lord, especially in the 1040 window region, over 1 billion Muslims, over 1 billion Hindus, the tribals. I think if every believer will take one day of the week for fasting and praying with a world map and looking at these nations, I'm telling you, we will see this generation gripped and changed by the Holy Spirit. Because in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, God says, I looked for one individual to stand in the gap before me on the behalf of the land, that they will not be destroyed, but I found none. And I think it is very important for believers to realize that unless we embrace the cross and accept inconveniences, saying no to ourselves and our flesh, we will not make any difference or an impact upon the world today. Even for parents, I mean, they're raising their children, you know, they're pulling their hairs out. What am I going to do with my kids? And I say, parents, why don't you start fasting and praying seriously, crying out to God? Why don't you pray for these nations? Mm. And I think prayer will make all the difference in our personal life, in our family, in our community, in our nation, and definitely in the world today. And Gospel for Asia, we see this, you know, from the very beginning. For 30 years, we realized that an all-night prayer meeting, the first Friday of the month, or every Tuesday night for 3 hours in the evening meeting for prayer. And I'm telling you, literally, we have seen God move, and thousands of times we have seen God answers prayer. And it is the most significant thing at this time believers can do. Oh, by the way, there's a study that revealed that average Christians in America pray less than 8 minutes a day, and pastors pray less than 12 minutes a day. Mm. Thank God for those who are praying. But I think we need a lot more people to understand intercession, agonizing in prayer, fasting and travailing in prayer. Read books by E.M. Bounds, books on prayer and on fasting by, you know, different authors like Arthur Wallace, you know, God's Chosen Fast. And I'm telling you, we need to see this world change, and it can happen on our knees. And that is where our hearts are changed, our lives change, our decisions are changed. And I, you know, 30 years ago, it was during weeks of waiting upon God that everything changed for me. Mm. Before Gospel for Asia began. Today, with some 16,000 missionaries in 10 nations, seeing millions gripped with the gospel.
Yeah, you know, I feel kind of guilty about it, but it wasn't until these events took place in Myanmar and then just a week later in China for, I can say honestly, well, maybe not, but in recent memory, was the first time where I really took some time to pray for another nation, to pray for the people of another nation, because we're just so insulated sometimes here in the West that it just doesn't occur to us until, unfortunately, something like this happens. But I have been very grateful that I've been awakened to the needs of the rest of the world by these events, and to actually take some time just to mention a few words of prayer for those people, because I realized that deep within my soul, I really did not want to see any more lost because of a cyclone or for any other reason. Now, specifically, what can we be praying for the missionaries who are on the ground, especially in Burma right now? What kind of dangers are they facing? What kind of needs do they need prayer for?
You know, I would say the number one thing is pray that God will give them just physical strength and stamina to continue the work. We have hundreds of our missionaries, over 300 right now, and then students who are working around the clock ministering the suffering and the needy people. Then two, no doubt, tens of thousands of lives of believers have been affected, and they are going through lots of suffering. Pray for God's protection and grace that they will be sustained during this time of crisis, that God will use them also to minister to the unbelievers, the suffering people around them. Yeah. And you know, just a word on this prayer thing. You know, people think prayer is you have to sit in one place and you know, say big words. No, it's a conversation. You know, I wrote a little booklet called Learning to Pray. People from so many nations, you know, write to me and say, you know, I read the little booklet. You know, I'm amazed how easy it is while we are talking, while we are riding car, while we are riding bicycle, cooking. We simply can be just talking to God. Especially when you don't feel like praying, that is the time to say, Lord, you know, I don't feel like this. but I want to tell you about Burma. I want to tell you about Thailand or, you know, Albania or about my neighbor. And God answers prayer, and devil hates us praying, but, you know, and then the Holy Spirit will give us the burden to pray specifically for things we never imagined. If a believer would say, Lord, I don't know what to pray, would you please help me? And then listen, it's amazing how God can lead people to pray for things they never thought about.
Well, I've certainly been experiencing that recently, and it is an amazing experience. And again, you know, I've never had a heavy burden for quote-unquote world evangelism. I confess to that. But my vision has been expanding a lot in recent months, and then just by leaps and bounds in just the past few weeks, watching what's been happening in our world today. And I am both grateful and yet kind of scared because, you know, these are new emotions. This is a new experience to be thinking this way. But it's good to always be growing in the Lord and experiencing new things. KP, to wrap things up really quick, you know, I was looking at your website, Gospel for Asia, and it has a quote on there from you talking about rebuilding Myanmar could take years. And, you know, we're very short-minded when it comes to these types of events. Once they stop talking about it on the news, oh, well, then everything must be okay because it's not on the nightly news anymore. What can people do? Where can they go at Gospel for Asia to find out more about how they can help, how they can donate, how they can pray? Can you give them a little more information about what you have at Gospel for Asia at your website where they can get more information?
You know, the best thing is we update that website regularly about what is going on. It is gospelforasia.org, gfa.org, and you know, it's a www.gfa.org, and I think people can get plenty of information, especially what to pray for, and also anyone who give any kind of money, every penny sent on to Burma for the need of the people. And this is an incredible challenge and opportunity, and the need is so huge. And I hope people will go to our website and get information and then learn how to get involved.
Well, I certainly hope that they will as well. KP, thank you for joining us tonight. Hold on. I'll say goodbye to you here in just a moment after I wrap things up. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. KP Yohana joining us here on a very interesting Raw Talk tonight as we examine some of the events in the world today. And I know it was a heavy topic, and next Sunday we're actually going to kind of spin off of this idea of, like, we need to share the gospel now. There's a lot of summer movies coming out this summer. It's been a very busy summer. Prince Caspian came out this weekend. Well, right there is common ground for us to reach into the lives of people. So we're going to talk more about that next Sunday here on Raw Talk. I hope you'll come back and join us then. Thanks for being with me this evening here on Raw Talk on M88.